From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua with the next portion of a message called The Cities of Refuge. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Surgery for Healing. The text is found in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. It is the Lord's way to tear before He heals. This is the honest love of His heart, and the sure surgery of His hand. He also bruises before He binds up, or else it would be uncertain work. The law comes before the gospel, the sense of need before the supply of it. Is our listener now under the convincing, crushing hand of the Spirit? Has he received the spirit of bondage again to fear? This is a salutary preliminary to real gospel healing and binding up. Do not despair, dear heart. But come to the Lord with all thy jagged wounds, black bruises, and running sores. He alone can heal, and He delights to do it. It is our Lord's office to bind up the brokenhearted, and He is gloriously at home at it. Let us not linger, but at once return unto the Lord from whom we have gone astray. Let us show Him our gaping wounds, and beseech Him to know His own work and complete it. Will a surgeon make an incision and then leave his patient to bleed to death? Will the Lord pull down our old house and then refuse to build us a better one? Dost thou ever wantonly increase the misery of poor anxious souls? That be far from thee, O Lord.
Praise to the Lord.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. In this message, Dr. Cairns is focusing on Joshua chapter 20, the account of the establishment of the cities of refuge. In a demonstration of his mercy, the Lord appointed these six towns, three on either side of the Jordan, as places to which those guilty of manslaughter or of accidental killing could flee. However, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that this in no way compromised God's high regard for human life, nor did it reduce his requirement for punishment of those who shed innocent blood. Men tend to minimize the strictness of God's law, imagining that somehow the Lord will overlook their sin. Yet the Lord's justice is immutable. Sin must be punished. For the unrepentant, there will be eternal punishment in hell. But for those who flee to Christ, there will be mercy and pardon. Indeed, Christ is God's city of refuge. Now to continue this message, the cities of refuge, here is Dr. Cairns.
The law of God is evidently stricter than men allow themselves to think. It is rather the fashion of men to try and persuade themselves that the law of God is not so strict. They try to make themselves believe that there are loopholes in the law of God. They try to make themselves believe that their sin is not so bad as it first appeared, that the judgment of God will not be as strict as the Scripture says, that somehow or other God is going to lower His standards, that He will accept the best that we could do, that He'll accept our excuses. When you listen to the excuses that people have for their sins, it all boils down to this, that they try to make themselves believe and make us believe that the law of God is really not such a strict thing at all. But I have this to say to you this morning. If you're in this meeting unsaved, you are playing the fool on the edge of hell. As the Bible describes it, you are dancing on the edge of eternity, playing the fool, trying to tell yourself that God will make all sorts of allowances, that the law of God has all this elasticity in it, that somehow or other God will not be so strict against your sin. I want you to understand that God is strict to mark iniquity. That message comes out very clearly in this passage of Scripture. God is strict to mark iniquity. God will call every work into judgment. And it will be judged by God, not by man. He will judge it by the standard of His own eternal, immutable law, not by the changing standards and enactments of men, not by the mores of any given society, but by the standard of the strictness of God's holiness. What a picture this passage then presents. It is the picture of the justice of God pursuing sinners. What a pursuit. A pursuit that, short of the city of refuge that God has provided, without that, it is a pursuit that can only end in one way. There is no escape from the justice of God. There is no hiding place from the justice of God outside of His own appointed place of refuge. The prophet Isaiah said, "The heel shall sweep away the refuge of lies." And every false refuge in which sinners hide, whether telling themselves law will not be so strict, or the love of God will somehow not allow a condemned wretch to be lost eternally, or that my religion is good enough, or my works are good enough, or I simply don't believe, or I shrug it off, or I wait till another time. Whatever the refuge of lies may be, the justice of God will wipe it out. What a picture that is. Can you see the avenger of blood hot on the trail of the manslayer? That's just a dim foreshadowing of that awful picture of Scripture when God unsheathes His glittering sword and the law of God starts after the sinner in judgment. Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Those are some of the most awful words in the Bible. If you're in this meeting this morning unsaved, I want you to let your sin come before your mind now. I want you to let every evil thought, every evil word, every evil motive, every evil action, every dereliction of duty, every breach of the law of God, every despising of the mercy and grace of God, every rejection of Jesus Christ, everything that God calls sin, and over it, I want you to see that God writes, "I will repay. I will repay. Vengeance is mine." That's why Paul wrote to the Hebrews in 10:31 of that epistle. And he said, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And two chapters later, he says, "Our God is a consuming fire." Oh, when you look at the city of refuge, it shows you first God's justice. Now, I've said God is strict to mark iniquity. And the psalmist asked the question, if God is strict to mark iniquity, then who can stand? The answer is left to ourselves, no one. Who can escape? Left to ourselves, no one. But thank God, with His justice, He reveals His mercy. Because while here we see the justice of God pursuing sinners rightly, We see the mercy of God opening up the city of refuge, the place of safety. The mercy of God is seen in the very appointment of these cities. But thank God it is seen more fully in the appointment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great city of refuge, appointed by grace. What a powerful testimony this is. It's a testimony that God sincerely desires the salvation of sinners. Now, I want to make that very, very clear this morning. I've been reading some of the views of people who have been great Calvinists down through the years. And of course, I read them as one who is a committed and convinced Calvinist, as the world calls them, really a Bible believer. But some of these people are overboard. And they don't want you to preach the gospel to sinners, just to the elect. They don't want you to plead with sinners, just to the awakened. They don't want you to allow sinners to come to faith unless they've been through what some of them call years of sins and miseries. In other words, they've got to have so much preparation before they can come to Christ. And with that view, there comes the notion that there are millions in this world whose salvation is something God has no desire for. I want to tell you something this morning. First, that is not biblical. Second, it has nothing to do with the teaching of John Calvin. Thirdly, it has no place in biblical evangelism. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. He says, I delight in mercy. He tells us unequivocally that he desires, and that's the proper translation of the word in the verse I'm referring to, he desires the salvation of all men. People say then, well, why did he not elect all men? Dr. Paisley has a very good answer to that. You just mind your own business and leave God to mind his. He'll do a better job of it than you. That's as good an answer as you're going to get, by the way. Does God desire all men to keep his law? Does he desire them to fulfill his law rather than to fulfill the devil's desire? Sure he does. Does he, by an immutable decree, fix all men to obedience to his law? No, he doesn't. But he still sincerely commands them to keep it. And similarly with the gospel. The heart of God has no delight in damning sinners. To hear some people, you'd think God was dancing in heaven when sinners dropped into hell. And it's not so. Oh, the mercy of God. I want you to know today, if you go to hell, you go because you will go. You want to go, and you refuse the mercy of God, who positively, strongly presents to you the city of refuge. See the free availability of this refuge. What mercy is in that? It's accessible to the needy everywhere. The cities of refuge were so spread out that the refuge was accessible from every part of the land. And not only that, to the stranger as well as to the freeborn Israelite. And here's where the mercy of God is even greater than the type. In the cities of refuge, there was mercy for the innocent, at least, of willful murder. But in Jesus Christ, there is mercy for the guiltiest. There were some excluded from the cities of refuge, but there is none excluded from Christ, save him who will not come. If you will not come to Christ, you'll be excluded. But if any man will, then let him come. If any man thirsts, let him come. What mercy there is for the guiltiest of sinners. So the cities of refuge show us God's justice and God's mercy. They also show that God's justice and God's mercy are both administered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the reference to the avenger of blood. It's very interesting that the avenger is the very same one who's identified, and the Hebrew term is exactly the same. He's identified in other places as the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer. The kinsman Redeemer is one of the most precious pictures in the Old Testament of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the kinsman Redeemer is also the avenger of blood. I want you to notice this, that the Redeemer's first obligation is to the law. The Lord Jesus Christ administers God's law. He does not save man in defiance of the law. He does not ignore the law in order to save man. He does so by administering the law. Can I make this point as well? This is one of the most terrible pictures in all the Bible. I've often referred to the book of the Revelation to you, where they cry in the 6th chapter to hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of whom? The Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. In other words, the very one who died on the cross to save sinners is the administrator of judgment against sinners. The wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of God, however it's described in Scripture, is a terrible thing. When God speaks of himself in terms of a judge, or whetting his glittering sword, or a furious fire, I can see great terror there. But when God speaks of the wrath of the Lamb, there is something added, a degree of terribleness that's beyond my ability either to grasp or to describe. And you think that the hand that takes the impenitent and hurls him out into the outer darkness of a lost eternity is the very hand that was nailed to the tree. The hand that dropped with blood. The hand that has been stretched out for years. All day long, he says, I have stretched out the hand. I've pleaded with you. I've yearned over you. I've called you. I've offered you grace. You've turned your back. And now that very blood-soaked hand takes that impenitent soul and hurls him to the darkness of hell. I tell you that, my friend, is terror beyond degree and description. The very Savior who died is the one who will say, depart from me. I never knew you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.